Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like you.
What's up, Curiosity Builders? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs and leaders looking to grow, not only by learning new things, but by connecting their work to big ideas and overcoming the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. You've probably heard the same quotes I have about inspiration and that it's for amateurs. Professionals simply get to work. But this morning I was reading Wired to Create, Unraveling the Mysteries of the Creative Mind, and the authors reframed the importance of inspiration in the daily lives of successful and creative people. In this episode of Getting Work to Work, I'm going to dive into the will and the ways of your creative life. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/244. You've probably heard the quotes that put inspiration in a negative light. Perhaps you believe you need to be inspired in order to produce your creative work. Maybe you even wait for the muse to bestow your project with an enlightened idea. Maybe you even believe that inspiration is for amateurs and that professionals just get to work. Regardless of where you fall on the spectrum of inspiration being an absolute necessity or a frivolous waste of effort, I think there is a different way to approach it. In the book Wired to Create, Unraveling the Mysteries of the Creative Mind, the authors Scott Barry Kaufman and Carolyn Gregoire share about this need for balance between inspiration and action. I was just blown away reading this morning because not only was I searching for an idea for today's episode, it really challenged that thought of, you know, inspiration is for amateurs. And we often need inspiration in our daily creative work. And oftentimes I'm asked, you know, how do you produce so much content? And it's because I'm constantly filling my brain with inspiring stuff, whether it's the book like Wired to Create or, you know, reading a variety of different types of books. That is my way of finding that inspiration. But at the same time, I also need to get into the habit of creating. So some of the quotes that I wrote down that really stuck out was falling in love with a dream. And with an image of one's future self who has achieved that dream, deeply inspires us to make that vision a reality. But just as hard work and inspiration are both critical to creative achievement, nurturing passion requires both a dream and a plan. What I love about this first quote is that it's setting up the stage for this balance between two worlds. We're bringing balance to the Force. Sorry, Star Wars reference. This balance between dream and a plan, between dream and action, between inspiration and work. The authors go on to write, to nourish and sustain motivation toward a creative goal, we must not only fall in love with the dream of our future self, but also love the process of becoming that person, including all the unglamorous everyday hard work. So now we have this idea of we have the dream of what could be, but we also must love becoming that future thing. Oh man, the process. This is nuts. I love this idea. The authors go on to say, having hope involves having both the will and the ways to achieve your goals and is more effective than both optimism and self-efficacy as a vehicle for success. So here's where it's at. We have to have both the will and the ways, the dream and the action, the desire and the daily practice to get there. Let's dive into the will. The will is things like passion, inspiration, grit, desire, motivation. In many ways, you could say that the will is how we define ourselves and how we go about our creative habits. One of the quotes in this section is really, people who are hopeful tend to create learning goals, like experimenting with a new type of sound, which supports personal growth and improvement. Those without hope, on the other hand, tend to adopt mastery skills, like selling a certain number of records, which are less focused on growth and more focused on outperforming others. Hopeful thinking may actually promote creative thinking skills insofar as it involves coming up with various flexible strategies to achieve a goal. So in many ways, the will is not just passion, inspiration, grit, desire, and motivation, but it's hope. Fascinating. And the way to facilitate hope is to have learning goals versus mastery goals. We all want to become masters and experts at what we do. But when we have goals that are focused on experimentation and trying things as opposed to outperforming others, what happens? We actually achieve our goals over time. That's very interesting. So what about the ways? Some quotes. Dreaming alone is not sufficient to get us where we want to go. I've spent my fair share of time dreaming about where I want to go. And I've spent my fair share of time just working, not really caring where I'm going. So what do I do with this? What do I do with the ways? Well, here's another quote. I'm full of quotes today. A technique called mental contrasting, which involves imagining the desired goal and then visualizing the obstacles, both internal and external, that might realistically get in the way of your ability to achieve that goal. What you're doing here is looking at the contrast between a desired future outcome and the realities that you currently face and may face in the pursuit of this outcome. Another quote, people who fulfill their creative dreams over the long haul balance optimism about the future with realistic strategies for getting closer to their goals. Inspiration with hard work and dreaming with doing. Wow. So it's a balance between two simultaneous states of being. Both are required and a necessity. You need inspiration as much as you need action. You need the will and the ways. And I love this model of mental contrasting, being able to simultaneously look to the future and define obstacles internally and externally. And internal obstacles, you know, could just be, you know, maybe you aren't a very hopeful person. Maybe you're lazy. Maybe you don't understand what you're trying to do. My friend Adam wrote in his newsletter this morning that, you know, if you're not surrounding yourself with more successful and driven people than you are, then you aren't going to put yourself in situations where you need to learn, where you will shut up and listen to other people. Because when you surround yourself with people who are on the level of you or even lower, you become the God in your mind. You become the savior of other people, as opposed to someone that if you put yourself in situations where you don't know, oh, you get humbled fast. So fast. So I just love this idea of balance. I want to share just three ways that you can find balance between the will and the ways. First, ask yourself, do I favor the will or the ways? While it is a spectrum between these two sides, I think we favor one or the other. So some people might favor inspiration over action. Some people might really enjoy the dreaming process, or even, like, you know, defining the scope of work, but not necessarily doing the work. And I think once you kind of understand what side of the spectrum you favor, you're then able to produce a balance to that action. So for example, I love doing the work, but I also love dreaming about the work. And how can I provide that balance between those two states of being? I've really worked it into my daily process to where I spend time reading in the morning in order to fuel the dreams and the ideas that I have, so that when I sit down to work, I've got a slew of information just ready to go at any given notice. So this morning I'm eating my breakfast and I just happened to grab this book, Wired to Create, and this is the result. You know, it fueled my imagination for what I could do. Second, identify your balancing forces of being. So if the first step was identifying where you fall on that spectrum naturally and identifying the opposites, you're going to go through and spend time considering more of those than just, you know, the ways that you internally operate. So some things to consider in terms of balancing forces of being. Maybe it's optimism and strategy, inspiration and hard work, dreaming and doing. You know, those three are from the quote above. But what about curation and creation? Are you curating ideas, but also creating new ideas? Are you consuming and producing? You know, there's so much stuff to watch on Netflix, Hulu, HBO, Showtime. I mean, we are inundated with material to consume. But are you producing as well? Are you thoughtful and frenetic? How do you bring balance to all of this? With balance comes tension. Are you someone that favors tension, or do you run away from tension? Are you passive or aggressive? Are you passive aggressive? You know, these are things to really consider. It's about knowing thyself and really being able to dive into both the will and the ways. Third and finally, analyze your goals and levels of hope. I really like that part about hope, and that learning goals inspire hope, mastery goals lessen hope. Why do you think that is? I want you to think about why that is. I don't want to tell you why that is, because when you write down your goals and label them as learning or mastery, then you can look at them and saying, are my learning goals more hopeful? Are my mastery goals more hopeful? This stuff needs to be put into the context of your life, your goals, and your action. I can't do that for you. The authors of this book can't do that for you. So spend some time reflecting upon that for yourself. It's going to take some effort, and it's going to take the will, and it's going to take the ways. But are you willing to do it? If you're listening this far ahead, probably you are willing to do it. So put this stuff into action. I read this morning in another book that those who learn and bring in more information are able to be more valuable than other people. But I'm going to take it a step further and say those who not only take in more information, but find ways to act upon it are more valuable and successful. And it's taking, again, the balance. We're bringing information and action upon that information. See, it's a balancing force, and it's something that I'm going to continue thinking about. As we come to the end of this episode of Getting Work to Work, I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with other creative entrepreneurs and leaders? You can send them to gwtw.co to access every episode of the show, or you can have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Do you have a big idea that you're chasing or want to share about how you're growing in your creative work? Perhaps you need some advice, encouragement, or just want someone to say hi to. Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm Chris at chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at CM Studios. Not only do I love talking about curiosity, but I like writing about it too, and I just launched a new email series for creative entrepreneurs who are struggling with burnout, conformity, and mediocrity called The Curiosity Killers. Each day focuses on one killer and provides a few steps you can take to build your curiosity through wonder, learning, and action. Head to curiositykillers.com to sign up for this fun and serious look at why curiosity matters. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.